Aye. In all the universe, there's billions of galaxies, but there's one galaxy, the Milky Way. In the Milky Way, there's billions of stars, but there's one star, the sun. Around the sun are nine planets, right? Pluto, you know, but there's one planet, the blue planet. We call Earth. On Earth, there's seven continents, but there's one continent, North America. In North America, there's a number of countries, but there's one country, the United States. The United States, there's 50 states, but there's one state, Ohio. In Ohio, there's hundreds of communities, but there's one community, Marysville. And here we are. And the attention and affection and consciousness of God is upon us. I have no reason why for me. It's pretty easy for me to understand why he loves you. But I don't understand for a second why he loves me. Because I know me. But this omnipotent, omniscient, eternal, immutable, incomprehensible God has chosen to reveal to us what's going on. People across America woke up this morning and who don't know the scriptures. And they wonder what is going on in this world? And God says, what a stupid question. I laid all that out in my word. I called the end from the beginning. That's what you do when you're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I am. If you would but look in my word, you'd know what's going on, and you would know where it's all heading. And though I, at the human level, I'm a bit troubled by what's going on, but I'm not in despair. I know where it's heading. I know who sits on the throne of the universe. I know which team wins. I don't believe Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, is breaking a sweat over our present political situation in America. I don't think he's worried about supply lines. I think he's got this thing, amen? And tonight, I'm going to give you some stuff that I preached in 1992 when it first was written. The 2021 agenda, was it the 20, where they originated it? I have to look on my notes here. I have notes tonight. I've always wanted to be a noted preacher. So here I am, see? The 2021 agenda that they write, I preached it when it came out. It's in their own words, the UN agenda. What their intentions are for the world. And you know what's crazy? It matches what we read in Revelation chapter 13. Kawinky dink. I don't think so.
That's right.
Now, before I get to Revelation 13, just to see it, we looked at it a little bit yesterday. We're just going to give it a peek again tonight. And then we're going to watch the hand of reality fit into the glove of prophecy. And when we do that, and back in my day, we'd say, hey, what's happening, man? We're going to know what's happening. And I find that both interesting. I also find it comforting in the midst of a world of chaos. Now, just a survey real quick, and this is for those of you who've been in the Word for a while. The book of Daniel laid out the coming history of the world. History is no mystery. It was laid out in advance. God gave us the end from the beginning. Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon, basically king of the world at that time. He has a dream, and Daniel comes and interprets the dream. There was a giant statue, head of gold, breast of silver, loins of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron mingled with clay. Nebuchadnezzar freaks out. He doesn't know what it means. His soothsayers, his magicians, his demonology spiritualists couldn't help him. They called Daniel. God gives Daniel the dream and the interpretation. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. There will come after you another kingdom inferior to you. And as he goes from the top of that statue, head of gold, to silver, brass, iron mingled with clay, we have the transcending of time. It's the unfolding of the kingdoms that will come. Now, it's interesting, in the model prayer our Lord gave us, say it with me, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We'll stop there for a moment. His kingdom is coming. And I read about it. You're going to want to be there, you know. The lion will lie down with the lamb. How cool is that? The evil beast of the field, Ezekiel tells us, chapter 34, the evil beast of the field will cease. I'm from upstate New York. We have black flies. Do you guys even know what they are? They're nasty. Down south where I'm heading, they got chiggers. They're nasty. But they're not going to be around in the kingdom, or they're not going to bother us. The evil beasts of the field will cease. We shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. My wife doesn't like that verse as much as I do. She says, isn't the word woods the Hebrew word Ramada, as in Ramada Inn? I think she's a heretic on that verse. But the paradise that God made for us in the Garden of Eden that was taken away by sin will be restored, and we'll be living out God's dream. See, we're part of God's dream. Thy kingdom is coming. Well, that kingdom we see in that vision of Nebuchadnezzar. It's kind of in veiled language, but as you put scripture with scripture with scripture, it's not rocket science to figure out what's going on. Babylon will fall to Persia, Medo-Persian, right arm, left arm, which would fall to the brass, Greece, Alexander the Great, to the legs of iron, Rome in the west, Constantinople in the east, and then the 10 toes, iron mingled with clay. It's not like it sort of used to be. I call this Rome phase one, and the feet, iron mingled with clay, Rome phase two. And the end times, Daniel says, the old Roman Empire revives. Only 12 years after World War II ended, on March 2nd, 1957, we have the birth of the European Union. Can you imagine Germany and France and England coming back together? It would seem crazy, but it happened. Coinkydink or Providence? I'm not much, I don't have a lot of faith in coinky dinks. I've read the eternal word of the living God. I'm kind of convinced that man couldn't have written the Bible if he wanted to and would not have written the Bible if he could have. If I'm writing a book, including me, I'm not going to tell how dumb I am. But the writers of Scripture exposes all of David's downsittings and uprisings. It's the Word of God. And so we have the layout of the kingdoms to come, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Rome phase 1, Rome phase 2. And then, if I can find the verse here, it talks about, verse 28, Daniel 2:28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. That's us, gang. The latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon the bed are these. And he gives the Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, legs of iron and all that. Then I want to drop down to verse 43. We have Rome phase 1, now Rome phase 2. It's interesting, 10 toes in Daniel 2, 10 horns in Daniel's dream in chapter 7, kind of saying the same thing twice. You know, when the European Union was formed, it had 10 nations. I thought, yeah, it's the Bible, 10 nations, 10, 10, 10. Yeah, now there's 26. And it freaked me out because I know the Bible's never wrong. It says 10 toes, there's 26 nations. Then I looked at the ancient Roman Empire and guess how many kingdoms there were? 10. God's word is never wrong. Now, those nations have been divided up. Those regions of the former Roman Empire have been divided into 10 regions. The 10 regions then have divided into 26 different countries today. You know, Yugoslavia was one, now it's Serbia and all the different countries that bounce out of there. But those nations are back together. And verse 43 talks about the iron mingled with clay, that 10 toes, the revived Roman Empire. But now verse 44, and in those days, when that old Roman Empire has come together, in those days of these kings shall God, the God of heaven, set up a kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is talking now about God's kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long? Forever. God's going to kick butt and take names. That's what they'd say in New York. Now, I want to fast forward to the book of Revelation 13 and kind of get that glove of prophecy thing working. I know we were there yesterday, but just another kind of putting together the regime of that final revived Roman Empire. Tomorrow night I'm going to give the alignment of the nations. I call it easty, westy, northy, southy. And that in the time of the end, the different political world power blocks of nations, it's all together. We're going to look at it tomorrow night, easty, westy, northy, southy. And we're always looking like, okay, who's the good guy here? And we'll root for the good guy to beat up the bad guys, right? And we get to northy, southy, easty, westy. Guess what? Who the good guys are? None of them. Satan has deceived all of them. Now, presently, within the northeast, south, easty, westy, there are God's people. I'm not responsible personally. I'm not going to give account, nor are you going to give account before God for the political decisions that evil people make. But in the meantime, we have his word, glove of prophecy, and we have the news and fake news. And when you figure out what's going on, it always fits with what God said. With that in mind, we're looking at Revelation 13. And we're seeing this global, tyrannical government of the Antichrist. He arises in the first part of Revelation chapter 13 out of many nations. The 10 crowns, the 10 nations have come together. So the kingdom of the Antichrist will be the westy part of tomorrow's message. Russia will be the northy part, her allies. We'll look at Ezekiel 38, 39. We're going to see China, the hordes, the kings from the east coming, and the south, an Islamic caliphate that seems to arise and is destroyed by God early in the tribulation time. But I want us to see tonight, really, here's the glove of prophecy. Here's what God said it's going to be. And then we're going to show you in their own words what they plan to do. It fits. And how they plan to do it. And it was written in 1992. So we see in Revelation 13, the rise of the Antichrist. His deadly wound is healed. It looks like he's dead. It looks like he's alive. All the world wonders after the beast. They're watching this almost in real time through television. And around the world, everybody's watching. There's war. Enemies are defeated. They say, who's able to make war with him? We're going to develop that a little bit more tomorrow night. But then we have another beast in verse 14, the false prophet, the religious side of things. Back in the fourth century, Satan's trying to stamp out the church, and he failed, and there was persecution. But the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church, and Satan failed to wipe out the church, so he stepped in to kind of compromise the church. Constantine, Emperor Constantine, in the pagan minds, was a god incarnate in the flesh. They worshipped him. And then he had family members get saved, and he didn't want them to be persecuted, so he signed an edict of toleration in 310 AD, and then in 312 AD, he signed the edict of Milan, therefore making Christianity okay without persecution, committed himself or professed himself to be a believer and to be a Christian, and also appointed himself to be Pontificus Maximus, the Pope. We have a merger of state and church, and the pagan's choice was to go with the flow or die. So 99.99% just went with the flow. That's what people do when they get scared. So now you have the birth of the Roman Catholic Church, out of which my wife came, and 80% of my congregation in New York came out of Catholicism. And we had Satan really use that merger to deceive people. I thought I was a Christian. I was a Protestant. You know how I knew I was a Protestant? Mom told me I was. And she was a good cook, so we're all set. I'm a Protestant. My wife was a Roman Catholic. You know why? Because her parents told her that she was. She went to parochial school. And so we didn't know the scriptures. And so there's this fourth century thing, merger of state and church. And then only like 60 years later, they signed another decree making the Roman Catholic the official religion of the Roman Empire, and no other religions could exist or they would be persecuted. Totalitarianism. And the world plunged into what we would call the Dark Ages. What ended the Dark Ages? The Gutenberg Press. The first book they printed on the Gutenberg Press was the Bible. And the Bible got back in the hands of the common people, and they saw the errors of religion, and they went from mysticism to biblicism, and the Great Awakening, we call it the Protestant Revolution, and millions were born again into God's family. And so what goes around, we say, comes around, and Satan really, he did good doing that thing in that day. It looks like he's going to do it all over again in Revelation 13, where this false prophet comes alongside the Antichrist to give him his authority, to give him his credentials, to tell the world, hey, he's a good guy. You know, he's a spiritual guy at heart. And so we have this merger of the false prophet giving authority to the Antichrist. And when they do, the miracles seem to be unfolding in Revelation 13, 15. And he, the false prophet, gave power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed I think this is the introduction 2,000 years ago to what we would call today artificial intelligence. When I read that in 1972, I kind of like, I take that literally, sort of. I do, but I have no clue what it means. And of course, we know what artificial intelligence is today. The internet and the capability to gather data on us is almost omnipotent, almost omniscient. They got pretty much everything on us since the Patriot Act. And it's amazing how Satan, this is going to be the theme from here on out of our message tonight, Satan always packages his deals in a beautiful package. The Patriot Act, we're going to catch the bad guys, we're going to let them come here and get us. So we sign on to it. I thought it was a good thing. And then I begin to realize they're not just surveilling the potential bad guys, the terrorists. They're surveilling everybody. And I gave my whole life on Facebook. They know how many rutabagas I grew last year. If they check, it's all there. It's actually 14. They got everything on us. It's going to be a totalitarian regime, Revelation 13. And of course, you know the passage, without the mark of the beast is given next. And he, the Antichrist, causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man can buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or a number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that understanding count the number of the beast, his number of man, number 666. Totalitarian government controlling everything, cashless society. And that was written 2,000 years ago. Now, I'm going to look at, give you a document that they wrote in 1992, and they don't know anything about Revelation 13. And in their rejection of God, and their hatred for God, and their attempts in their human 2.0, transhumanism, trying to be God, you need to study out Yuval. Yesterday, early service said Yusef. It's Yuval Noah Harari, H-A-R-A-R-I. And let him explain to you what all that transhumanism is. And it's Satan's oldest lie. It's when Satan used on to God into God's face in Isaiah 14. I will be as God. What did he tell Eve in the Garden of Eden? You shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Who does he claim to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God? It's the same lie, and they're buying into it. And people are all freaking out. I'm not freaking out about it. I'm saying, God told us it would happen, and it's happening. Then Jesus, come quickly, I'm ready to go. Oh my, I just get goosebumps sometimes. We're so close to his return. Transhumanism, where they say we will be gods. People say, do you believe in God? He says, I'll believe in God once we create him. They're in the process, in their warped minds. Now the cool thing about it is this, those that are hating God, doing this wicked stuff, messing with the human genome. Some of these vaccines, be very, very careful. mRNA vaccines, changing human genome. Be very, very cautious with that stuff, folks. Just study up on it and love everybody, because everybody, I have close friends that they were trying to do the right thing because they got great hearts. And so we should never be divided over this, but we should be wise concerning these things and love one another. So these people who are so evil in this transhuman movement, these controllers, Klaus Schwab, I'll just throw this in now, president of the World Economic Summit, established in 1972, wrote a recent book, The Great Economic Reset. It's subtitled The Fourth Industrial Revolution, said in his book, boldly, proudly, without shame, holding back nothing. In their plan in 2030, he calls us useless eaters. There's 7.3 billion people on the planet. Their plan is to reduce it to 500 million. One group says 1 billion. So their plan is to reduce human population by over 6 to 6.5 billion people. You know, save the planet from the populace. Isn't that exactly opposite of God's plan? Save the people from the planet. Satan is always opposite of God. God is love, Satan is hate. God is life, Satan is death. Always the opposite. Klaus Schwab says in year 2030, you'll all be living in 800 square foot apartments in high-rise buildings in smart cities using only mass transportation. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And he calls us useless eaters. We're polluting this factor with our carbon footprint. And it's best for the species and for the planet for you and I no longer to be polluters. And there's a mass sterilization movement going on through the vaccine movement. It started long before COVID. You know, Bill Gates is not welcome in India. He's banned over vaccines that he unleashed there. And last I heard, over 400,000 Indian women. This might not be inaccurate, but my last hearing of this was over a year ago. Over 400,000 Indian women were sterilized against their will by his vaccines. Have you heard anything different on that? That's what I last heard. So there's a movement. You think maybe the devil might be behind that to reduce human population. Let me just give this out to show you how they think. They take facts without Jesus, without the Bible, under the control of their commander-in-chief, Satan, and they take a look at world population. At the time of Jesus, the whole world population, 250 million. It was the year 1830 AD when the world reached a population of 1 billion. All those thousands of years to get 1 billion. The evolutionists would say all those millions of years to get 1 billion. It was the year 1930 AD, only 100 years later, 2 billion. Only 30 years later, 1960, 3 billion. Only 15 years later, 4 billion. We fast forward today to 7.3 or 4 billion people. Now, people who are blinded by Satan, who are wicked smart, which professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. They're pawns on the devil's chessboard. They're seeing all this, and this is foundational to the whole Green is God movement for the depopulation, the Paris Accord, the planet's being polluted. We've got to reduce population. Have you heard dear Greta Thunberg, the little Swedish girl? She's so sweet. She's so sincere. She's so deceived. But she's compelling. How dare you? With her little Swedish accent. I've been to Sweden 17 times. I have a lot of friends in Sweden. Preach all over the country there. How dare you to pollute our planet? How dare you to bring children into this world? How dare you? But it's just the blind being led by the blind. And so there's Solomon, I think, wrote, and of course it was God through Solomon in the Proverbs, maybe it was in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. And so what these guys are saying in 1992 is what God already laid out in the year 90 A.D. when John the Revelator writes, of course, it's God through John writing the book of Revelation, glove of prophecy, hand of reality. Global governance will come in the time of the end, which Jesus will return, kick their butts, and set up his eternal kingdom. I want you to see that kingdom of the Antichrist is almost there. Now, when you think of global, there was, for 5,900 years of human history, there was nothing remotely global until 1919, League of Nations, following World War I. They called it the war to end all wars. And with the League of Nations, we'll not have wars anymore. We'll talk it out. We'll figure it out in the conference room. There'll be no more wars. Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. You see, it doesn't matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter that they control the world economics or the internet or big pharma or big business. They'll never be able to control God. And in the rejection of God, they're only fulfilling the plan of God. Just like Pilate, Herod, Caiaphas in the days of Jesus, they hated him and they crucified him, and we rid the world of the Jesus issue. But 3 days later, they got another problem with Jesus. Way bigger than one they had 3 days ago. And here we are on the other side of the planet 2,000 years later, lifting up his holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! The League of Nations was upgraded in 1948 following World War II, where Satan used Hitler to try to wipe out the Jewish people so they could not come home. But only 3 years later, they do come home, and Israel's reborn among the nations of the world as prophesied. And 1967, we looked last night, the Six-Day War, the Jews retook their holy city as prophesied by Jesus. June 10th, 1967, they retook their holy city. And now we have the UN under the guise of no more war. Boy, isn't that a sweet package the devil used there. No more war. And 184 nations join in. Right, no more war. And there's Korea immediately, you know. And then Vietnam kicks off, and on it goes. But people will believe most people just believe what they want to believe. Well, the scriptures laid it all out. We're either in the know or we're in the dark. I think that's why we're having this conference this week. And I'd like to commend your church and your pastor, because you are one of the most biblically literate churches I've ever been in on what's happening, really happening in this world. And it's an honor for me to be here, and it's a joy. And because of your spirit, I have total freedom here to say what I really believe. I've been in churches that didn't want to hear this. And not very often, though, because preachers are pretty careful who they have in their pulpit. Nothing remotely global till 1919, 1948, the United Nations. No more war, really. Now we have the World Health Organization, the World Monetary Fund, the World Bank. Now the World Economic Summit, and their founder, Klaus Schwab. Oh, what a guy. And his prophet, as it were, Yuval Noah Harari. Boy, sometimes I think if they're not the Antichrist, they are the spirit of Antichrist. And if they're not the Antichrist, I don't think they are. But they probably enjoy a nice lunch together, I'm sure. They are teammates. They have one heart. We're going to be God, is what Yuval says. And Schwab's like, yeah, make me a God. Transhumanize me. Pickle me up and save me forever. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. It's insane what they're saying. Hacking the human spirit. Anyway, check them out, because I can't even explain it. It is so weird. But they're for real. The coming economic reset, which I think was foundational, using COVID as a tool to sow shaken the nations and to get people accustomed to bowing to government overreach and control. I'm trying to look at other world organizations here. I'm not following my notes. I'm a noted preacher now, but I can't even follow my own notes. Killed a lot of brain cells in 1969. This is what you got left. You call them dangling. Hey, Duke, you're preaching. Okay, yeah, help me, Lord. For decades, these people, Satan, their commander-in-chief, have been working mostly in the shadows. I began studying this out in 1973. My pastor handed me a book written by Gary Allen in 1971. It was the second bestseller of the decade of the 70s, second only to the late, great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, a prophetic book. Any of you read that book? Yeah, a lot of us. Explaining what's going on. So that the number one book for that decade, not the year, the decade was a prophecy book. The number two was the hand of reality that fit into the glove of prophecy. And I began to be aware. Remember Jesus, well, the Lord told us in through Paul in Ephesians, even then and even now, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we do wrestle against spiritual wickedness, principalities and powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. So the devil's always working in the background. And the Lord gave us the end from the beginning, shows us what to expect. And in their document, in their own words, they're going to tell us how they're going to do the devil's work. Except they think our God is the evil one. And that we are the deplorables. And we are the bad guys. Woe unto them that say good is evil and evil is good. And that day is here. Here we go. In their own words, number one, one world government. George Bush the first talked about it soon as these plans were in place with great joy. Oh, we don't have to worry about that now. We'll settle that in the New World Order. The evangelical community said, what? What did you say? What are you talking about? What do you mean by that? You let the cat out of the box. One world government, number two. Oh, let me say, one world government with global sustainable growth. Isn't that a sweet package? Well, we must have sustainable growth. I have a garden. I want to have a sustainable garden. I learned that anything past a half acre, I can't sustain it. It gets over and overweights. The weeds take over. So I know what I can. We want to have sustainable growth. We want to control the carbon footprint. We want to preserve the planet. We want to kill off the people to save the planet. Paris Peace Accord, sweet prophetess, false prophetess Greta Thunberg. Number two, one world currency, digital. No cash, cashless, digital. Beep, beep, beep. Didn't that sound like Star Trek until about 20 years ago? Digital money, world currency. We're almost there. Number three. They wrote this in 92. I got this off their webpage. Number three, one global central bank. Just all fits, but they're very specific. Number four, one global central military. Have you seen UN troops in their little white vehicles? That's going to be the military of the Antichrist. I think that's the color of the vehicles that Jesus will wipe out when he comes back at Armageddon. One world military. Now, there's going to be some opposition in the tribulation powers. The kings of the south don't like it. We're going to show you why. Why the kings of the north, Russia and her allies, come down against the mountains of Israel. The Antichrist, you'd think if he's the Western leader, he'll set up in Belgium. No, that's the headquarters of the European Union. This is more than the European Union. This is a world government. I'm setting up my capital in the world, the capital of the world, Jerusalem. Isn't that neat? That Satan knows where God's capital's at. So I'm going to God's house. I'm going to go to the Temple Mount. I'm going to sit in the temple of God and show myself to be God. And we're right on the edge of it. One world military. Number five, the end of all national sovereignty. This week, the World Health Organization is meeting to have a vote to where 124 countries are ready to vote in the World Health Organization as the sovereign voice over all medicine and vaccines for the whole world. Coinkydink or providence. It's all part of their plan. The end of national sovereignty. The end of all private ownership of property, except, of course, for the elite leaders. The end of all privately owned property. That's how it works already in China. Number 7, the end of the family unit. Hillary said it takes a village, and she knew what she was talking about. The cabal despises parental authority over children because we'll instill in our children our values. And the Biden team and the defeated governor of Virginia, he didn't win that one, said, how dare parents believe they have the right to control their children's education? How dare parents to think they should have a voice in what their children are being taught in school? Coinkydink or providence? Number 8, population control, depopulation movement. I mentioned several of those points already as I jump in and out of my text. I'm sorry that I'm schizophrenic in my preaching. I try to cover it up with a little humor. So if we get confused, at least we'll be having fun. Amen? Sorry about that, preacher. Population control. Number 9, 1992, I got to remind you, endless mandatory vaccines. 1992. People say, are you vaccinated? Of course I am. Polio? Not rabies. might be a good... Not yet, anyway. smallpox and one more. No. My mama took me to a mumps party and a chickenpox party. Get them over with. The younger you are, the less damage they do to you. So I'm in the natural immunity world, you know. There's another one. Whatever that is. I'm vaccinated 3 times. Our grandchildren are facing 73. Not counting anything COVID from here on out. And what's in those things? Why is autism off the charts? Why are peanut allergies, man? Nobody was allergic to peanuts in my day. What's in these vaccines? Well, you don't want your child to be sick, do you? In New York, they really force vaccines upon children. If you have unvaxxed children in New York, and when they say unvaxxed, they're talking about all 73. They're not talking about the ones you choose. It's one reason we're leaving New York. 400,000 people left New York last year. I think 600,000 are moving this year, including 7 of my family. Number 10, universal basic income. One of the presidential candidates on the Democratic side introduced that. What was his name? Corey Young? Oh, the Asian guy, yeah. Right in the presidential Democratic debates. That was painful, but I watched it. I get a prize for endurance. Universal basic income. Doesn't that sound good? Well, we'll just take care of everybody. Just print up the money and give it to them. Of course, the value of the money goes down. Universal basic income. It's almost here. Yeah. Number 11, microchipped society. Control of medicine, travel, and trade through microchipped people. In 1992, I'm not sure I knew what a microchip was in 1992. This is not a new plan. And when I preached this in 92, people said, oh, pray for Brother Duke. He's got a good heart, but he just done left by the Bible and started preaching politics. You can't separate politics from prophecy. I heard somebody say last week, I love it, I wish I'd have thought it up, but I'm not that smart. Politics are the stage upon which the epic battle of the universe between God and Satan are played out in the world of politics. I don't want to be a political pundit. I want to be a Jesus guy in the midst of all of it. If you die as a Democrat without Christ, you go to hell. If you die as a Republican without Christ, you go to hell. You need Jesus, both sides of the aisle. So I don't care about politics per se. I care about prophecy, and it's all part of the same deal. And people are waking up to that, and that's a good thing. I'm not telling people who to vote for and things like that, but if they want to kill babies, I wouldn't vote for them. Amen? Just saying. I love your church, preacher. Number 12, complete surveillance system. Human tracking, facial recognition, social credit system, which is already working in China. As you comply with the CCP, you get brownie points. Your kids get to go to the better schools. If you violate their things, you might just disappear. So the people are held in total fear. The Communist Chinese Party, those people are in communist prison as we speak. I had a Chinese boy that lived with me for a year going to school in America. It was so sad. He was so conditioned. He had absolutely no clue what was going on in the world, but dude, he was awesome at video games. His hair was thinner than mine. He was 16 years old. Turns out many, if not most of the young people in China, their country is so polluted, water, air, food, that is causing the young people, everybody's hair to fall out. It's not a good place. Satan's been running China, but in the midst of all that, lots of people getting saved in China. There's great people there. We're not talking about Russian people, Chinese people, Ukrainian people, American people being evil. It's the governments. We wrestle against flesh and spiritual wickedness in high places. Internet of all things. They needed 5G, not for speed and internet speed, but they needed 5G for the massive amount of data that needs to be able to control all human activity and behavior. I've studied out a bit about 5G waves and human brain tissue, and that's frightening. Could do a whole podcast on that. Internet of all things, they know where we are and what we have. And they gain that capability through our devices, and they listen in now. And potentially shutting humans down without that mark, ultimately. I think what's happening now is a forerunner, the ultimate mark of the beast. They can just shut it off and you're dead. That's what they're telling me. I don't know if that's true or not, but people are saying that. Number 14, government-raised kids. Universal child care. Doesn't that sound nice? I know a lot of single moms that universal child care would really help them. But it's what they teach the children when they're in their care that's so frightening. Universal child care. Sounds so compassionate. California legislation is now to vax children with no parental notification. Biden's attorney general going after the parents in Columbus Columbus Academy School when they questioned and they opposed the critical race theory being taught to their children. They're paying $50,000 a year tuition. I think the great prophet Steppenwolf in 1971 was right when he said there's a monster on the loose and has our heads into a noose. And all the former rockers said, amen. And young people, who's Steppenwolf? It was an old rock and roll group that were pathetic, but I liked them. Number 15, government-owned and controlled schools. Man, we're pretty much there. No voice of parents. Number 16, the end of private transportation. Your cars will be gone. Climate control, just elimination of the burning of fossil fuels. It sounds so good, theoretically, but it's not about COVID. It's not about cars. It's not about medicine. It's about control. Revelation 13. It all goes towards centralization of control, and Satan is behind it all. It's number 17, all businesses owned by the government, as in China now. That's hard for me to comprehend. There we go. Sorry about that. My son had a small business. He had eight or nine employees. And last year, he couldn't get employees to work. He was paying $22 an hour and couldn't get people in New York to work. And he sold his business. He said, Dad, it was a lawn mowing business, and they did everything to take care of properties. But you'd basically say a lawn care thing, and they didn't hire illegals and underpay them under the table. They were totally honest. There are certain industries that are almost forced into non-compliance just to survive. He never broke a rule, paid all of his taxes, did nothing under the cover. He couldn't get workers. He said, Dad, we fight the weather, we fight equipment failure. He said, but I can't fight the government. And he sold out, and we're moving to South Carolina with him. It's the plan. It's the plan to break down the little guy so everything goes to the big guy. Restriction of all air travel. I'll have to drive here next time, preacher. That's going to really hurt our world missionary movement, isn't it? Control, restriction of all air travel. Number 19, settlement zones. As Klaus Schwab wrote in his book that just came out in 2019, 800 square foot apartments, high rise buildings in smart cities. I was in Romania soon after the wall came down, and I saw these buildings. The 800 square, right? Ceausescu did it. He went out in the country, tore down all that, just bulldozed all the villages, all the houses. They moved everybody in these concentrated things. You can go online and see it. It's horrible. These places are drab and tiny and dark and damp. But that's where you put useless eaters. And they had guaranteed income, and it was barely enough to survive. So they've already had their test runs in Romania. They've already have it set up where 1.3 trillion billion people in China are already in this globalist prison. Number 20, end of private-owned farms. End of private-owned livestock and irrigation. We looked earlier this week at the World Seed Bank, Monsanto, and Bayer controlling all of the seeds. We have the massive amount of farmland being bought up by Bill Gates and the Communist Chinese Party. Bill Gates' farm, not far from here. Not far from here at all. They're taking it out of commission. I just did a podcast today on famine. Jesus said there'd be famine, earthquake, pestilence. I just did a podcast. It'll be up about 4 weeks till it gets up. End of all private-owned farms. Complete control of agriculture. Number 21, restrict land use. Single-family homes no more. That's going to break my wife's heart, but I think Jesus is going to come and take us to a better place. Maybe a mansion. Now, her idea of a mansion and mine are different. She's mansion. Me and cabin. She don't want to listen to me. Number 22, ban of banning of all natural and non-synthetic drugs. I'm kind of getting into all the natural plants and stuff, and stinging nettles is an amazing thing. There's many health benefits to stinging nettles and dietary things, and I've got this one plant, I'm just losing its name now. It's got these little orange flowers on it, and you get a bee sting, and you rub it on there, and it just, like, goes away. I'll come to me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll call y'all and tell you what it is. Ban of natural synthetic drugs. The end of the Nuremberg Code. End of the Hippocratic Oath. End of doctor-patient relationships. My doctor had this all come down his throat, and he chose no longer to practice medicine. I mentioned that the other day. Godly Christian man, elder in one of our local churches. I see COVID was the start of banning the non-approved drugs, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which I wanted and couldn't get. When I had COVID, the Lord blessed me with a very mild case, and I'm all good. But it was very frightening to, if I go into a New York hospital, they're going to give me, what's the other one? Say it again. Remdesivir. I had people die, close friends of mine, on remdesivir poisoning. You know, did you study the death tolls from 1918, 1919, 1920? They didn't go up. They just called everything COVID. Now they're going up. And I think it's maybe the COVID treatment that's killing people now and not so much COVID. Klaus Schwab said, you'll be happy. That makes me think, what else will they put in the happy juice vaccines to make us happy under those kind of conditions? Satan now sits in many district attorneys' offices where the district attorneys are practicing catch and release. In New York, it's catch and release. That's supposed to be for fish and not for criminal punishment. Vax passes in New York City. I'll probably never go there again. But if you go, bring your own food because you can't get into any of the sites and you can't get into any of the restaurants. It's always packaged for the good of the society, for the good of all. Totalitarianism is being stuffed down our throats as we speak. And if you look at the center group of who's making the decisions at the high economic level, at the UN level, at the pharmaceutical level, the vaccine level, you know who you see? All the same teammates. Soros, Schwab, Gates, same guys. The elite. And they feel they're above society. We're just useless eaters. That's what the devil thinks of us. But they're the ones in trouble. Not us. Yeah. King Jesus is coming. And he told us they'd be coming. And they're here. Right. And in 1992, they told us what they're going to do. And when I shared that, because I've always been a prophecy freak, and to me, this is relevant. And people are like, well, pray for Pastor Duke. But now they're connecting those dots. And it's like, wow. How close are we? Nobody knows the day or the hour. But Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up. His coming is near. I'm so ready. I'm so ready to get out of New York, but I'm even readier to get out of here in general. Wait till you meet my dad on the other side. It's a miracle that he made it. Skin of his teeth. The dude was a sinner, man. Ninth grade. Found Jesus. He was hilarious. Where did you meet my mom? should be making cookies for you. My grandma Gladys got saved out of Jehovah's Witness. She made the best pancakes ever. She'll want you all over. Oh, you got to hear my grandson preach. What'd you hear my grandma Mosier? What'd you meet her? Dear Lord, she prays, it's 76 years old. Dear Lord, I'm old. I have no money. I have no strength. But I have many son, grandsons. Please save my grandson and call him to preach. You'll meet her. Meet my grandson, Caleb Michael. He's already there. Will he be a baby when we get there? Will he be a little boy? Will he be a young man? I bet he'd be better looking than his papa. I dropped that bar real low. I tell people, God let me choose between being smart or being happy. Guess which one I chose? Heaven. Heaven. Mansions. Music. Reunion. New bodies? Do I get an amen on that? A new body. No more metformin. Ice cream. Chocolate syrup. Maraschino cherries. Do I get an amen? Heaven. And all that'll be nothing compared. Amen. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to sing like we've never sang before. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and dominion both now and forever. I think we should be focused a little bit more on heaven than Yuval Noah Harari. He's going to come, and he's going to go. Wouldn't it be cool if he got saved? Wouldn't it be cool if Hillary Clinton got saved? I've become deplorable. Wouldn't that be cool? That's kind of what happened when Chuck Colson got saved. He was a bad dude. He was up to here in corruption. In Washington, D.C., under Nixon, the old boy got saved. I remember I had only been saved about a year. I was driving home from work, and I heard him give his testimony on the radio. I started crying. I had to pull over and get myself composed. Wouldn't that be neat? See Klaus Schwab get saved?
Yeah.
Boy, he's a weird dude. You need to study this stuff out. It's really easy to just Google there, and even Google. They're proud. They're not hiding anything. But I don't think we should spend a whole lot of time. We just need to be aware. We know from the scriptures where it's all going. And a message like this, you don't need to hear this over and over again. This is not to be depressing. The whole purpose of this is to let us know how close it is to his coming. Which begs this question in closing. Are you ready? I remember playing hide and seek as a kid. Actually, we played kick the can. Any kick the canners in the house? How cool is that? That's like hide and seek on steroids, amen? That gave those stupid little 12 and 13-year-old boys the opportunity to kick the can and be the hero for the girls. Oh, dude, kick the can for me so I can come in free. I'll be there for you, babe. How did that pop into my message? We're almost there. I remember hiding, playing, when you're it. 5, 10, 15, 20, 21, 33, ready or not? Here I come. I think Jesus is sitting, I know he's sitting at the right hand of the Father because he told us. And I think every time Jesus moves, an angel grabs a trumpet, ready to go. The Father says, not yet, just getting close. Just. And he's coming. For us.
Amen.
Let me see that. It feels so good, doesn't it? That's like a big old warm comforter wrapping around my chilled body. He is coming for us. And when we shall see him, we shall be like him. These corruptible bodies put on incorruption. Are we all going to have real beards, dude? I don't know. Right there's my heart, right there. My heart on his face. You meet my wife and say, how did you put up with him all those years? Wow. Jesus said, I told you before it happens. So when we see it happen, we'll know. This isn't hope-so stuff. This is no-so stuff. And in the midst of everything the enemy's throwing in my face, I have peace. I have peace with God because of the cross and his shed blood, but I also have the peace of God. He's with us. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. Did Jesus not say it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around their neck and cast into the sea than mess with one of my kids? I know I paraphrase that a bit, but it's... Did he not give angels charge over us? Is he not up to the task? You know, if I got to live throughout history, I might want to live at the time of Egypt and the 10 plagues and the parted waters. That'd be pretty cool, huh? Lord, could I watch water come out of the rock, please? Did you see the place? You can Google that up and see the rock in the desert there where the water came out of the rock. You can see the geology. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's the word of God. It actually happened. Yep. And as sure as Jesus came the first time, he's coming again. Right. And we're almost there. We're almost there. We're almost home. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you ready? Are you ready? Somebody here tonight say, Pastor Duke, I'm starting to connect the dots, and it's a little scary, but it's exciting. If the Word of God is true on all these prophecies, I guess the Word of God is true that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so I am no longer ready to face life without Christ. I want him in my heart. I want him on the throne of my heart. I want to live for him and not for me. I want to enter into all these fantastic promises, but I've never received the Lord Jesus into my heart. I've never had Jesus change me, and I'm ready. Tonight's my night. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to ask you to lead me in the sinner's prayer. I'm going to ask you to turn to Christ with all your heart. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Well, I tried to and I can't. Well, of course you can't on your own. But when you call upon the Lord, you'll never be facing anything on your own again. He'll be with you. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you power to become the sons of God. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to have a final prayer in just a moment. Anybody here, say, Pastor Duke, pray for me right now. Lead me in that prayer. I wish to receive Christ Jesus, the Son of God, into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Raise your hand. I'll pray with you. I'll lead you. You've not done that, but you're ready. Anybody? And Christian, aren't you glad God told you? What's up? What are you going to do about it? Number one, don't fear. You don't need to fear this. Number two, just draw an eye. We're going to worship and praise our way through these last days. The world's falling apart. They say, we say, no, it's all coming together in the biblical scenario, and we're ready for Christ to come. I think I exhort people every day. I wake up, I get into the Word of God, and I rededicate my life to Jesus because I need him more today than I did yesterday. I have more people leaning on me now than I did last month. I need Jesus more than ever. So I just want to have a rededication of my heart to Jesus every day. I don't wish to lean to my own understanding, but in all my ways, acknowledge him and have him guide my path through these troubled days. And as we shine bright in a dark world, God will use us to draw many people unto himself. And we'll continue to see Satan losing ground among people turning to Jesus, just like they are all over China, just like people are turning to Jesus all over Iran. We can have people all over your town, Marysville, Ohio, turning to Jesus because they see him in his beauty in your life. Lord, make us that kind of people, empty of self, full of you. Make us pure of thought. Make us pure of mind. Make us pure of body, that we can bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Stand together. sing. If there's a spiritual need,